twinkle of a ghost sitting on a stone, sitting in the marble with words unknown. A pale face with blistering eyes grabs the light in the shadow there lies. And we're cruising the graveyard, wrestling with the shadows. Cruising the graveyard, wrestling with the shadows. Cruising the graveyard, getting lost while speaking to the dead. Suddenly an appearance stands on a highlighted painting with ice inside. The fluorescent black, and it's running, running, running down my back. And we're cruising the graveyard, wrestling with the shadows. Cruising the graveyard, wrestling with the shadows. Cruising the graveyard, getting lost while speaking to the dead. Must be insane. His shovel goes deep, 6 feet to hell. Don't you know that buried soul is no longer for sale? And he was cruising the graveyard, wrestling with the shadows. Cruising the graveyard, wrestling with the shadows. Cruising the graveyard, getting lost. Wow.
You know, I admire them so incredibly much. They're an independent band called Tone and Niche here in the Detroit area, but they go all over the place. You know, they're going to be at the Lager House in Detroit, downtown Detroit. It's like a block from the old Tiger Stadium.
I spent many a drunken night there in college.
Well, they're going to be there. I think it's like Thursday or some weird day of the week like that.
Mm.
And let me do some knobs here real quick.
What did you break now?
I just have to twist some knobs and stuff, like you have to do when you're doing double.
Did you throw the apple at it like I told you to?
Well, actually, this time I just threw a piece of cheese on it, but it doesn't have the, you know, the banging, you know, kind of knob-wrenching kind of impact that an apple would have had. But all I had was a piece of cheese at the moment, so that's all I
did. Okay,
cool. But, yeah, they're going to be at the Lager House. They're going to be performing. And, you know, what's interesting, when we had Tone and Niche in the studio,
yeah,
they, I'm like, play Cruising the Graveyard. And he's like, I don't know it.
I totally forgot it.
I've forgotten it. I don't and remember it.
It's garbage. I hate that
it's
song.
Garbage.
I'm like, what?
I love that song.
Yeah.
I just absolutely love that song. It means a lot to me. And so I found that interesting. But fortunately, Will had a recording.
Yeah.
And
then we play it like every week here on the show. It's a great song.
Especially
for
Ghost Month. I mean,
well,
this
yeah,
is
totally.
Ghost Month on Ghostly Talk. Uh-huh. And of course, to that end, we've been talking to our field reporters all month. We've been talking to some great folks from different ghost hunting organizations.
Yeah, and again, next week we're going to have live here. They're actually going to be here.
Right, physically in studio.
Yeah. Chris, I think a couple other people are coming. I don't know who's coming exactly yet. He emailed me. I have to return his email tonight.
Oh, the one thing, are we still on?
We're still on, yeah, man. Yeah, if you're listening, Chris,
we're
too
on.
Lazy to type things. So, yeah, we're totally still on. I'm going to call you this week, man. It's all set.
But, yes, we'll have Grimstone.
Grimstone Inc.
That's very, very serious. They you learn a lot from Grimstone. That's all I have to say.
We're going to be going
amazing.
In overdrive next week, I think.
It's going to be quite a three-hour tour there. Three-hour tour. Yeah. And so we'll have that. And, of course, we have the incredible Jeff Belanger.
Belanger.
Yeah, Jeff Belanger.
You're messing it up the rest of the show, man.
You just mixed them both.
I don't know. I'll just mess it up. But yeah,
I like Belanger because it's got a very nice. It has a very nice intellectual property to it.
Well, they wanted me to say Belanger. So I did, yeah.
I'm like a sixth-generation American now. The first time I went to Canada, they saw my name, and they're just like, bonjour, comment ça va? And I'm like, man, I don't speak a word of it. I'm sorry.
You're like, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what I'd be.
We were talking about, before we went to break, we were kind of talking about hallucinations.
Thank you.
Yeah,
but we got off that topic. We're now talking about his books.
Oh, okay, all right. Where was that? Oh, I was making tea.
Well, you were making tea, but I was, I talked to him during the break.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff, I told you that I was in Indianapolis, and
right.
I made the birthday boy take me to the bookstore, and I bought him one of your books.
Very good. I appreciate it.
And you know, the thing is, he will too, and I'm sure he does. He's probably read it by now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think it was an amazing thing to do because we happened to have just been talking about you the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not you specifically, but
my ears were burning.
But your
not really.
But your website, ghostvillage.com.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
So of course we you know I had to do something in keeping with the you know the theme.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Buying your book was just an absolutely amazing, you know, thing to be able to do right there.
Mm-hmm.
We just popped into where did we go? Like it was one of the big ones, like Barnes and Noble or mm-hmm. whatever. And there it was. And it worked perfectly. And I know that he'll read it, because that was for Sean.
Oh, yeah.
So you know he's probably been through it twice or three times by now.
He reads nonstop.
Yeah, he's just nonstop into anything ghosts. And so he got that. Tell us about your books, because you've got, you mentioned you have four out now. Or, well, one's coming, your fourth is coming out.
That's right. The fourth one is, the first one is The World's Most Haunted Places, which is, I believe, the book you're talking about.
Oh, yes.
And that was the first one. That came out last year, and it was about kind of in-depth look at 29 really well-known haunts around the world, where I researched the history, I spoke to eyewitnesses, multiple eyewitnesses at each location, just kind of try to present an overview. And
mm-hmm.
the question I was trying to answer, though it's not written in the book, it was more in my head, is, are there ghosts? You know, that was the question that
mm-hmm.
kind of drove me. And I found my answer to that question. And I hope others will too, but I got my answer.
There's a little footnote on that book also. That's the one you sent to us originally.
Oh, okay.
And we used that. That's the book we used.
We gave it away.
Yeah, we gave it away. We used it. We pimped it all over the site, and we used
not
it
very
for,
good.
We used it for our first official Ghostly Talk Photoshop contest.
Oh, okay.
We had a whole bunch of people just make it. You know, it got completely out of control like we thought it would.
Who won?
A girl named Amy.
Amy?
I'm not going to give out all personal information, but
okay.
Ghostly Talk Groupie, that's her ID name on the website. Boy, I wonder how she won, huh?
Yeah, how did she win?
Yeah, exactly.
Very good.
She did a great job.
On her Photoshop entry?
We had like 40 or 50 to go through ourselves, and then we tried to narrow it down to like 10.
And then
people
voted.
We let the listeners vote, and the young lady who won, she received a copy of your book, a free T-shirt, whatever size she wanted, and then one of our special edition Ghostly Talk window decals that took forever to get.
And they don't seem to work very well.
They work great now.
Oh,
they work
okay.
good. They All work right. good. You know, just the first batch came out backwards. And
yeah,
kind of
yeah.
sucked. But your book was included in that little prize.
So it's gone. Did. It's found a new home with someone
in a better place.
Yes, yes. So somewhere, and you know she'll appreciate it.
Yeah, she was
oh,
very
good.
So. She was very. As a matter of fact, she emailed me back and she's like, "I'm really enjoying this book. Thank you for sending."
Yeah,
it.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, serious? She did.
You're full of it.
No, I told her to email me. I emailed her and said, "Hey, Amy, listen, let me know when you receive the package. I just want to make sure you got it."
Oh, good.
And so she sent me an email back about a week later and said, "I received it and I'm loving this book and I'm loving this T-shirt. I sleep in it every night and I'm like, that's hot."
And she's
okay.
a groupie.
Yeah.
And,
so
groupie.
I'm like,
and of course she's hot. It doesn't matter.
It don't matter. Yeah. You attach that stuff to your name, that the groupie thing to your name, you're automatically hot. I don't care who.
That's
you are.
Right.
Exactly.
Keep it, your imagination could only be disappointed.
Yeah.
Just leave it alone.
Well, we were talking about your books. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you on that.
No, no, that's good. No, I'm sure it's the same thing when people are like, "Hey, listen to your radio show." Like, I don't know, it turns me into like an 8-year-old boy. I'm like, "Really? Wow!"
Yeah, you know.
Whenever someone's like, "Oh, I'm reading that," it's always so flattering.
Well, it was actually really funny because I was at a Halloween party last night, and I was, you know, talking to a bunch of people from the Great Lakes Paranormal Research Society, all one fun bunch of folks out there, and there was a host of other people that are into the paranormal that are just hanging out, you know, and they're all dressed like, you know, Darth Vader or the devil, or I'm dressed in my mother's dress on like I wear every year for Halloween, so I'm like sticking out like a sore thumb.
Right, for Halloween.
Yeah,
right?
For Halloween. Yeah. Everybody gets
no, I know. Hey, I'm with you. Wink, wink.
Everybody gets in, they're like, "Yeah, right." I'm like, "It's just Halloween, man." They're like, "Yeah, sure, whatever."
Yeah, yeah. It's June, dude. What are you doing?
But somebody asked me, you know, I bumped into some young lady and we were just talking about stuff and she's like, "I love your show, by the way." And I'm like, we didn't even talk. We were talking about like widgets. Like, yeah, I love widgets. So I like blue widgets myself. We were discussing whatever, and out of nowhere, she's like, "I really love your show." And I'm like, "What show are you talking about? You know, what do you mean?" She's like, "Oh, I love those. It's a great show. I think it's really cool. It's really cool to talk to you." Wow. I'm like.
Yeah, right. I know exactly what you mean.
The funny thing she said was, she's like, "You know, I've been listening to you for, you know, a few years now," and she's like, "You know, I your voice, you know, me,
right?
Because it's me, right?" She's like, "You know, your voice, talking to you in person is a lot different because, yeah, I'm Mr. Surfer Boy when I'm off the mic, right? I'm, hey, what's up, man? How you doing?" Yeah, right? So I'm talking to her like, you know, I also got about more, you know, about 4 or 5 gin and tonics in me, so I'm kind of goofy, I'm kind of loosened up, and I got a dress on, and my hair's down, and I got makeup on, and so things I think were a little
a normal different. Saturday night.
Yeah, a normal
yeah,
Saturday
night. Saturday
night
right.
Not, as opposed to a normal Sunday night here on Ghostly Talk.
Right.
So
where we're in tuxes.
Yeah, we actually wear tuxes every
We wear tuxedos,
show.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Yeah, it's really, you know, after talking to you, though, it's weird talking to you in person and talking to you, you know, or just listening to you on the show, you're like two different people." I'm like, well, that kind of, one thing, I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. I'm an artist. Okay, cool. I'm saying, I'm like, well, no, I try to be myself. I mean, come on, honey, take it easy. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm trying. This is who I am.
Well, it was different. Cool. Remember when we got to meet George Norrie?
Oh, yeah, we were like a bunch of little kids.
We turned into, you know, Coast to Coast fanboys, and we are. I mean,
we're total fans of the show.
We're total fans of the show, but when you actually sit, you know, like, "Hi, I'm George Norrie, it's nice to meet you," and you're like, I just turned into butter. I don't know what to say.
And then staring across the console with this guy for two hours, we're like, "So, guys, what do you do?"
but
you're all Beavis and Butthead.
Exactly.
But one, you know, he is a professional, and he really, really made us feel at ease and everything like that. So we got through that.
Yes.
With, you know, no small thanks to him, because I say big thank you to him. But it was like that. You know, can you imagine what he goes through?
Oh, God.
At parties.
Oh, God.
And stuff.
Yeah, we all get a taste of that, and that's a really cool thing. But I do know what you're talking about, Jeff. It's still to this day, it's always a charge for people to go, "Yeah, hey, you know, listen to the show. It's really fun. I enjoy it." And I'm like, well, good. I'm glad you're getting something out of it. That's really cool. And it always does make you kind of mushy. You're like, I did something cool.
Yeah.
Neat.
It's nice to know people are paying attention.
Well, yeah, and that's like we were talking about before. I mean, there's a lot more people paying attention now, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot more people paying attention.
And
especially being October.
God, yeah. Oh.
You know, like, I mean, it's such a... I know it's a busy month for all of us, and, you know, gosh, I mean, I don't think I'll be sleeping until at least November 1st, but it's just... I think it's so important to just keep the discussion going, and I recognize... Now, fortunately, you guys do it year-round, but, you know, we only get the real spotlight for just a scant few weeks before Halloween, when all the media is willing to talk about the subject.
Exactly, and it's the best time of year to kind of dispel a lot of things. Cause, you know, there is a story of Halloween. We've discussed it. We discussed it years ago on the show.
Oh, yeah.
And
our first October.
Yeah. I love to tell people the story, you know, the original story of Samhain, you know, which was
right
in Wales. I love to sit people down this time of year when we're sitting around hanging out. Like, oh, Halloween's here, man. I'm going to go to this Halloween party and get wasted. And you're like, okay, cool. Do you know what originally Halloween was for? And then I try to, like, throw some intelligence in conversation, which usually results in me getting punched in the mouth. But, you know, aside from that, I try to get some, kick some good science out there to people, like we all do, and try to dispel a lot of the Hollywood stuff we all know about and get to the real meat of it. Like, you know, this is what it's really about. This is what ghost hunting is about. This is what, you know, an occurrence is really about. It isn't skulls coming out of walls and demons
right.
trying to rip your head off. I mean, it isn't that. If that ever happened to me, I'd be done. I'd be like, okay, I'm scared now. Okay, I'm done. I don't want to do this, right? It is that time, like you said, Jeff, where it is a time where we all have the spotlight in this field, the people that do this year-round, and it's a good time of year for us to really get some good information out to people. And that's why we do Ghost Mom now, to really help people out who are just doing that Google search on the internet for ghosts, because it's that time of the year, it sparks the interest, it's in your head. So, hey, I want to read some ghost stories. And then they come across our show, and they're like, well, this isn't ghost stories. I mean, every once in a while, somebody tells a ghost story on here, but usually it's this in-depth conversation like we're doing with you tonight, Jeff, talking about all types of things that have to do with ghost hunting. It's very important, I think, and that's a very good point you brought up, Jeff.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, I also have a background in marketing and public relations. That was my real job before I became a full-time writer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I see what some groups are doing, and that marketing PR guy inside of me just starts to cringe sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's important that you recognize that for any paranormal investigators who may be listening, you are an ambassador for all of us,
mm-hmm.
Whether you like it or not, whether you realize it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so important that when, you know, your local news crew gets together with you and the camera's off and they say, okay, here's what we want you to do. Put on this white sheet and go run through the room.
Uh-huh.
You can say no to that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll still film you.
Yeah.
You know, I've been there where someone's just like, hey, can we have you scream and pull your hair? And, you know,
like,
the answer is a very quick no. You can't.
No, I would never scream and pull my hair.
Yeah, right. You know, like,
if
that's the angle you want, I don't think I'm your guy.
No.
You know, it's okay to say no. but they won't say no. They'll still want their story.
Mm-hmm.
So just recognize that. Recognize that in the way you dress and the things you say.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important. It's important that we all, you know, because we get lumped together for better and for worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, you're a ghost hunter, just like that crazy person I saw on the local news running with a sheet on his head, on their head, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to deal with that.
Agree. So just remember that.
Now, if you're just a media hard like I am, you're like, okay, well, what, you want me to put on a lingerie setup? And
right.
Okay,
you
well,
need
hey.
Me to wear a dress? Because I've got one that fits.
As long as the camera's not on there, man. I mean,
he just turned bright red.
Bright red?
Yeah, you turned bright red.
I didn't turn bright red.
I don't know. I think I saw you.
I didn't turn bright red. That's my blush.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Come on, man.
Rouge.
Applied well.
But that's a big thing, you know. That's a very good way of saying it, Jeff, is just that, you know, you are an ambassador for a lot of people. And we, especially with Ghostly Talk, we present a lot of serious subjects out here. But we do try to make it fun for people also. I mean, sometimes...
Hey, don't get me wrong. It's great to laugh, and it's great to have a good time with it. And you guys are doing it just fine. It's, like I said, it's the people that, you know, when media cameras want you to purposely demean yourself or look like some kind of goober for the sake of the camera.
No. And I know none of us here with
done that. No.
I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do
it.
But
people do it. We've all seen it.
Oh, yeah, completely. I mean, with what little media attention we've received from this show, I mean, it's always been like, so what do you guys do? We all sit down at a table and we smoke about 1,000 cigarettes, and then we talk about ghosts and stuff like that. I know there are people, like you said, Jeff, that, you know, okay, we want you to act really scared. It's like, no, I'm a ghost. I'm a ghost investigator. I'm a paranormal investigator. If I got scared, I'd be basically defeating the whole purpose of all this work that I've been doing for years.
Right, right.
Because we're trying
you're in the wrong line of work if you're scared.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're trying to understand and collect evidence and provide a compelling case.
Yeah, something for people to think about, and that's really important. And that all ties in, again, with this time of year. It's very important because all the eyes seem to be watching now. And every year it gets more and more intense. This year has been completely crazy for us.
Oh, God,
I know.
I've... for myself, I mean, I know I've at least twice as much, twice as many interviews as last year in the 3 to 4 weeks before Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I said, it's great. I'm happy to do it because hopefully we can start a discussion that can carry, you know, beyond Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And if some people, you know, start coming to my website or start listening or, you know, investigating this a little more on their own,
mm-hmm.
then great. That'll carry them the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, hey, we'll take the month. If that's all we get, we'll take it.
Just one gander in my inbox will tell you how busy October's been. I'm telling you right now, I went away just for a day and a half here this weekend. I walked in the door here.
Did you happen to wear a dress while you were away?
Absolutely.
No,
that's what I'm doing.
You drive there in your dress.
No, but you know what I did? I made a huge mistake Friday night. So I got off of work and I shot out there, right?
Right.
And I was trying to keep things organized in the car. You know me, I'm OCD and all that stuff. So I'm trying to organize everything. And I'm like, well, I don't want this dress to get wrinkly, right? You know, I'm going to hang it up in my car.
Right.
I thought nothing of this. I thought nothing of this, right? I drive 150 miles at, like, you know, 100 miles an hour just about trying to get out there. You know, blown by people left and right. And these people must have been getting the laugh of their lifetime. Because here's this guy, this hairy guy with his big beard and long hair flying out the window and stuff. And, you know, with music on 14, just as loud as possible. With a ghostly talk sticker in the window.
Right.
Course.
Oh, great.
With this blue and white polka dot dress hanging in the back seat of his car. It must have been a sight. Halloween or not, I don't care.
Right.
It must have been a sight. And when I pulled up to Amber's house, and she's like, all right, let me come down and help you get your stuff. And I guess I thought nothing of it. She walks out there and nearly falls on the ground, rolling, laughing. And she's like, you had that thing in your car the whole time? Mm. And I'm like, well, yeah. Well, I thought nothing of it personally.
All right.
I thought it was funny. I mean, I thought it was funny at the time, but she's like, oh, my God, everyone must have thought you were crazy, man. I'm like, oh, well, great. Well, one more thing to chalk up to me now. Great. I got more evidence against me.
Well, now I know what to get you for Christmas.
What?
I'm going to get you a beautiful Easter hat kind of thing.
Oh,
something
thank you.
Very complex with, like, birds in it and all kinds of stuff. And you can put that, like, in your, you know, in the back window.
Yeah.
You can set it there next time you're taking your dress anywhere.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I'll put that in the back of my car.
And that way, if they happen to miss the dress, they'll at least see the absolutely exquisite hat.
Why are we, like, talking about my cross-dressing?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
we only do it once
really
a year.
Stuck, didn't
How
we?
Do we get
we
cut?
Only do it once, twice, three times a year, you know. So, so we want to talk about that.
Okay, well, thank you. Can we move on now?
All right, very good. The horse is dead.
Shoot that thing. Take it out back.
But you had also said, though, that there's a fourth book coming out. Like, it's imminent.
Yes, it is. In fact, I have my copy now. And I saw Amazon started to sell it. It's brand new. It's called the Nightmare Encyclopedia.
Wow.
And this is a little bit of a switch for me, but not too much. It's a look at nightmares. It's a look at sleep disorders. It's a look at the paranormal within dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a look at what different symbols mean in regard to interpreting your own dreams, especially nightmares. I think dreaming in general is such an amazing topic because 100% of us do it. All of us.
Oh, yeah.
All people dream. Many animals dream. You know, possibly more, but we know dogs dream. We know many mammals dream. And we understand so little about what's going on while we're sleeping. You know, you can ask, I asked a medical doctor, why do we even need to sleep? And he said, you know, that's a great question. We don't have the answer. We do know if you go long enough without it, you'll die. And it's very important to, you know, your mental well-being and your neurological well-being. But we really don't fully understand exactly everything going on while we sleep and while we dream. But some profound things are happening, and that's what intrigues me. You know, these profound mysteries that leave people scratching their head and
uh-huh.
and changed because of it. And
it's
so,
an interesting idea, though, Jeff. You got my brain going overdrive here.
When I was in junior high, I had this dream where a nightmare where the vampires had invaded the school, my junior high school, and I was running from them, and they were killing people as I was running from them. And then, of course, you can't get out because they had locked up the school. I don't know why.
Yeah.
So you couldn't get out, even through the emergency exit doors.
Okay.
And I ended up in the gym, although it was actually I don't know why, but the gym in my dream was the cafeteria. And I couldn't get out of the cafeteria, and they were coming down the hallway to get me.
Okay.
That was my nightmare.
And you still remember it. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, yeah. Well, it scarred me for life. But I haven't had very many nightmares since then.
Children have more nightmares than adults. There's a few theories, and that's all we have to go by are some theories. You know, mm-hmm. One is that a nightmare is your subconscious. It's yourself trying to get your attention. You know, we have dreams every night, and sometimes we don't remember any part of it. Sometimes you might wake up and remember one or two details, but then after breakfast it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But nightmares you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to remember, the language of the mind is images. Your brain can't speak to you. Your brain
mm-hmm.
can't say, Doug, you know, hey, you should quit smoking, or at least cut it down a little during the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your brain can't say that, but what it can do is give you images that you create. And nightmares, what's so amazing about them is no one knows what you really fear better than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the fact that there are vampires, now, you to interpret a dream, you simply have to put it into the context of your life and where you were at that point in time. Vampires are blood-sucking, right?
Right.
They're a preternatural creature that sucks life out of things. And you said there was many of them, and they were sucking
mm-hmm.
the life out of your peers and
right.
trying to do the same to you.
Yes, they were.
What, you know, so the question might lead to, and it was in the context of your school, did you feel kind of oppressed by some function of the school, by some administrator, by some teacher?
Who didn't? I mean,
yeah, of course, that's right. But, you know, but at that very moment that you had the dream, maybe there was something in your life that was making you feel particularly oppressed.
There were a couple things that made me feel particularly oppressed during junior high, and I imagine that I don't know if their timing was, you know, coincidental with the dream or not, but I remember there was the pencil incident, and then there was the time that I had to do, what do they call that when you, after lunch, you had to stay out? It's like a detention, but a working detention. I happened to be sitting at a table at the other end of the table, minding my own business. I could care less about all them other people.
Mm-hmm.
And all by myself, I was eating my lunch, because that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other end of the table, and these were very long tables that ran the entire way,
mm-hmm.
Somebody started a food fight or picked somebody's nose or I don't remember, some garbage.
Yeah.
And, you know, like kids do. And then they made the entire table stay after for a week and clean the tables after lunch.
Oh, okay.
And I was not guilty.
Mm.
I was not involved, and I still had to do it because I was sitting minding my own business at the at that table, but at the opposite end.
Yeah.
And that was particularly oppressive. So I don't know. However, the pencil incident, by the way, you take your used pencil,
mm-hmm.
you know, when it was down to about like an inch long, and
mm-hmm.
take it to the
you actually like got a pencil. I always lost it before that would ever happen.
Well, you take it to the office and they give you a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right? Mine was all stuck in the ceiling tile.
Well, yeah. Well, I took my pencil there and they wouldn't replace it.
Because
it hadn't been used enough. So
guard you for life.
Yeah, so I went down the hall and I just ground it down to nothing and took it back, and they gave me a new one. But I thought that was kind of
way to get over on the man there, yo.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but the point of an interpretation is that you really have to look at the context of your life.
Right.
At that moment, you know, it's pretty tough looking back. Because like you said, you know, the pencil incident, it seems pretty trivial now. But at the time, it probably wasn't.
Right.
You have to remember with you.
It angered me. I mean, frustrated me. I was frustrated about it.
Sure.
I was frustrated about both of those incidents. And those are the two main incidents, you know, oppressive incidents.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, you know, I really believe, and I've believed this long before this book, there's a lot we can learn from ourselves, you
mm-hmm.
know. And there's a lot we can learn from asking questions of ourselves and of the world around us. And that leads to studying things that are deemed paranormal, though I'm starting to find that that might be an odd term. Maybe it's a lot more normal than paranormal.
It could be.
You know, and I think, you know, you ask these questions and you find your own answers, because no one can give you answers. It doesn't mean anything until you've solved the problem yourself, till you find your own answers.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I think it's important that but you have to ask the question. If you don't ask the question, you're stuck.
Exactly. I want to talk about a nightmare that I had.
All right.
I want to do it after we take a quick break, though.
All right.
Okay.
And here's what we'll do. We're going to play, because I don't know what we've played and what we haven't played, et cetera, et cetera. But here's a fitting song. I think we played it last week as well, the week before.
What was that?
Fix My Head.
Fix My Head.
It's another Tone and Niche, because that just happens to be what's loaded up. I think this was loaded up from last week or the week before.
All right.
Are you their manager?
And
might as well be now.
I'm their fanboy. Yeah. I'm their fanboy. I just, you know, any Tone and Niche product, I rush out to the stores and buy.
We're going
to
have like the Tone and Niche / Ghostly Talk t-shirts coming out pretty soon. Set each other faces with a ghost.
Yeah, it'll have like all the Tone and Niche stuff and then a little teeny in parentheses at the bottom. Yeah, like, Ghostly also, Talk. Listen to Ghostly Talk.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break here. One more break. And I want to talk more about dreams because that's something we haven't done in a while on this show.
And it's topical because this is his new, his new book, Nightmares.
Totally.
Nightmares
yeah.
and Dreams. So.
We'll be right back after another Tone and Niche tune from Doug.
After yet another Tone and Niche tune. And
we'll be back.
Enjoy Fix My Head by Tone and Niche.
I can't get out of this box, and they've turned all of the locks. And the corners are closing in like the devil promoting sin. The ticking is cutting my ear, and the silence just won't disappear. I'm on the other side of the wall from the sun, the moon, and all. And I can't get out, and they can't fix my head. My arms are long and my bones feel like lead. Now in the depths of my gut, my skin is breaking up, and the colors in my eyes are fading to black and white. They hung a needle from the thread to sew up on the violence begot violence, so all of the children bled. Patience to the world, and death to the king. Nobody knows better, but everyone knows everything. And I know puppets when they speak, long-haired hippies who've grown weak, crazy religious men who complain to come. And I can't get out, and they can't fix my head. Mohammed's broken hands, scattered limbs from shore to land, from shore to land, from shore to land, from shore to land.
I swear, there were 7 seconds left on that clip. It must just, you know, have silence at the end.
I think it did.
Well,
it was quiet.
It sure was.
It was very quiet, and we're like, I think this song is done.
Yeah, but it still had 7 seconds left on the clock.
Well, you dump that into Cool Edit, and you cut that stuff off.
I can name that tune in 7 seconds, but if they choose that 7 seconds, you can't name it.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott
Allen. I'm Doug.
And we are still on with the mighty Jeff Belanger.
Or Belanger?
Belanger.
That's it.
Ah, there we go. I said
Doug,
it the,
you got it.
I said it the English way, finally.
Yeah.
Yes,
you're practically family now.
Belanger.
we were talking about dreams before we took a break. And
nightmares.
Nightmares.
Dreams and nightmares, all that crazy stuff you do when you're sleeping, among other things. And one of the ones...
My brother used to walk in his sleep. I mean,
do you want to hear one? If I may, guys. I just heard this one last Friday.
All right.
Brother Pete. Brother Pete.
Yeah,
Brother
Pete, yeah.
The big long Greek
last name. Yeah.
Brother Pete is at my parents' birthday party, and he's like, dude, I got to tell you one. This ties right in with what we're talking about, too. He's like, this was the weirdest thing I ever saw in my life. I'm like, well, what happened? He's like, well, I was out at the bar. I'm like, well, that's not terribly weird.
Yeah, that's Pete, right? Kind of normal.
He's like, so we were at the bar, and me and my buddy were hanging out, and we met up with a couple of chicks, right? I'm like, okay, hot. Okay, so what happened next? He's like, well, we went back to my house. I'm like, okay, even hotter. What happened next, right? He's like, well, me and my buddy Mark and this one of the girls we met, we were playing cards at my kitchen table.
Mm-hmm. And strip poker.
Whatever. Yeah, sure. Why not? He's like, the other girl, she drank too much, so she just passed out on my futon. I'm like, okay, cool. He's like, well, after about a half an hour of her laying there, we're playing cards. She gets up, right? And she walks over towards my refrigerator. And he's like, I said out loud, I'm like, hey, take anything, whatever you want, feel free. If you want something to drink or eat, go right ahead and get anything you want. While she's walking over there, her eyes are closed. She kind of like haphazardly just kind of stumbles over to the refrigerator, opens the freezer, drops her pants in front of everybody. Pete freaks out, right? He's like, oh my God, what's going on? Not in the kitchen, right? She stands there, she kneels down, right?
Uh-huh.
Nothing happens. She stands back up, pulls her pants back up, shuts the freezer, and goes back to sleep on the futon.
Boy, if I had a dollar for every time that happened to me.
Now, it sounds pretty crazy, don't it? But she was sleepwalking.
Yeah,
she had no idea.
She had no idea. She, as a matter of fact, an interesting postscript to that. She actually sent Pete a card a couple days later. An apology card, because he wasn't mad about it, but she felt really bad about it and she was embarrassed, so she sent him an apology card and said, this is from the bedwetter in your kitchen, sorry, or whatever, I apologize about that. And it was, he's like, I didn't really care, she didn't do anything. But it was a really weird thing. It was an interesting story to relay and to watch something like, I've seen people do that too. I've seen people actually sleepwalk for real. They get up and do that stuff. It's amazing. I had a nightmare though that
go
I really
ahead.
Want to throw out to you guys. This is hilarious. Back when I used to be a bartender, well, first of all, most people who know me, they know I hate people. I don't like it. I don't like too many people. Jeff, I like you, Jeff. You're cool. You're cool.
Hey, thanks.
Doug, you're all right.
Oh, good.
You're cool, right? So,
is Will on the edge?
Yeah, usually.
Oh, okay.
I'm losing my voice again. But to pay the bills, I used to bartend when I was in college, right? And I hated it. I couldn't stand people. They drove me crazy. All these drunk morons every weekend. Can I have rum, coke, please? No rum, no bubbly, please. Right? And you do that a couple hundred times a night. So, for me, as far as my personality is concerned, it wasn't the most appeasing thing for me to do for a living.
Right.
I made a lot of money doing it, so it was cool. I kind of like the income outweighed, what I was getting out of it spiritually.
Okay.
One night I came home, though. It was a very busy night, a lot of drunks, a lot of morons, a lot of people to deal with. So it was needless to say, kind of a rough night. I came home, and I laid down in bed. And I went into that stage, I think we call it it's kind of like that stage, you know what a night terror is? You've heard of a night terror. I'm sorry, you've heard of one too, Jeff. I started dreaming that I was serving people again. Right,
I would program some nights, because I was a programmer, and I would program all night long in my dreams.
Mm-hmm. But this was a nightmare because it was like they wouldn't stop coming. They just would not stop coming. Even at my job, I'd get a couple minutes to breathe for a second. Okay, back to it. Right, I went for what seemed like an eternity, serving drinks nonstop, one after another. For me, it was an absolute complete nightmare. It freaked me out to the point where I actually stood up, sat up, yelling, no, go away, leave me alone, and stuff like that. Caught myself out of my sleep doing that.
Right.
And then I said, I had to tell myself, Scott, you're not working, you're done, you're at home in your warm bed, go to sleep. And
right.
I managed to cool myself off like that and go back to sleep and dream about pink butterflies and, you know, purple elephant and cool stuff like that, right? But it's another one of those things, you know, and it kind of ties in with what you were talking about earlier, Doug, where you had this oppressive feeling, possibly, that made you dream about this wild situation.
Yeah, Scott, that was, I mean, you know, interpreting that one's pretty easy. I mean, that's... It's pretty literal. I mean, you're just simply feeling overwhelmed by your job.
Mm-hmm.
And it manifests itself with, just like you said, person after person nonstop to the point where it was maniacal.
Well, yeah, there wasn't too much analysis involved.
Yeah, right.
I think I figured it out pretty quick.
Yeah, right. Well, glad I could help.
Yeah.
Are we done?
It was a pretty easy one to gauge as far as like the
right.
fear level when it scared the crap out of me.
But what kinds of ones do you go over in this the upcoming book is for sale right now on Amazon?
You can get it on Amazon. It's probably about 2 or 3 weeks away from really getting into the bookstores, because it takes a while to get distributed. But we look at nightmares in pop culture, in songs and movies, you know, things like Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, which is just one of the great horror premises of all time. Because one, you know, you can't escape, you must sleep, you know, everyone must sleep or you're going to die. And then of course, you know, hell hath no fury compared to what you could concoct for yourself, because no one knows your deepest fears better than yourself.
Absolutely.
And even better than your subconscious. So you know, we're master of our own worst fears. And we also talks about things like sleep disorders, and then into the paranormal. For example, old hag syndrome, are you familiar with that?
Oh, yeah.
That's not paranormal, though, is it?
Well, you know, there's two very distinct schools of thought. You know, someone in the science community would say that's temporary sleep paralysis combined with a hypnagogic hallucination.
Right.
Sleep paralysis meaning you woke up during the REM stage of sleep where your body is naturally paralyzed, which is a very normal function.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain kind of misfired and doesn't realize you're conscious. And then you're having some hallucination that's kind of a leftover from your dream coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
And you interpret that as some kind of, you know, spirit or energy mass, you know, attacking you.
Mm-hmm.
Could be. It's possible. You know,
why are they the same? Or they're not this exactly the same. It seems to be a cultural kind of thing, because even though this particular function or occurrence happens across many cultures, the old hag, the old lady takes different forms.
And you're right. The other school of thought is people believe it's an attack. It's a spectral attack from something demonic, from something ghostly, from whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Some cultures believe, you know, actually have various names for this monster. And so when the event starts to happen, does their mind, you know, turn the event into that monster? Or is it really that monster? You know, if you ask the individual, they may swear up and down, that was just a spectral attack. I haven't been making the right offerings, you know, or I haven't been praying enough, and I got to correct that right away to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the eye of the beholder is everything in these kinds of things.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then also, a lot of people claim to be visited during dreams where, and I've had that too, where you have a dream that it's not a nightmare, but it's, you know, you might dream about a loved one who's passed on. And you wake up feeling really, really emotional, like it was more than a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe, you know, people believe they're being visited, and maybe they are. Maybe that's the great equalizer. That's where we can make the connection sometimes.
Well, that could be the level playing ground for all of us right there. It could level the playing field for all of us, whether we're solid or we're see-through, whatever way you want to talk about it. I do have my story about my coworker who passed away.
Mm-hmm.
That was one that happened a few years ago now, but I was visited by a coworker who passed away that day. I didn't get to say goodbye to him.
I see.
He was a friend of mine, and I only got the news secondhand from somebody who said, "Hey, did you hear Tom passed away?" He had cancer and he was battling it, and unfortunately he lost. But that night I went to sleep, and I told you, Doug, and we talked about it before, he didn't say anything to me. I just was like, I was in a hallway. I'm like, just walking down a hallway. And there was people out there. And then I looked, and there was Tom sitting there. Just smiling at me, just standing there like, just smiling, right. Not doing anything. He didn't, like, shake my hand. He didn't throw a brick at me. He didn't do anything. He just stood there and looked at me, and I just said, you know, oh, hey, what's up, man? Cool. And I did wake up with a feeling, I won't lie, I woke up with a feeling of peace. I was like, well, okay, you know, he said goodbye in his own way, I guess. That's totally cool. One of my favorite artists, this may help people, I think, Jeff, as far as nightmares go. This may help people get a visualization of what some people see in their nightmares, too. Are you familiar with a gentleman named H.R. Giger? H.R. Giger, that's another way to say it.
No, I'm not.
He actually is an airbrush artist. Doug, I'm sure, Doug, you remember. Have I talked to you about Geiger?
Maybe.
Well, he's the guy, this will make you all know who he is. He is the guy who did the original drawings of the alien from the movie Alien.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
He designed that creature. He has a book called Alien, which is all his sketches and designs of this particular creature. That's probably his most popular work. He's been an airbrush artist, interior decorator, sculptor of all sorts for a better part of 40, 45 years now. He's pretty old now. I watched a documentary on this gentleman a number of years ago, and one of the things that's very vivid to me upon watching this is there was a scene where they show the camera. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and he's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's in his house coat and pretty much nothing else, a pair of slippers, right? And he's just got his airbrush thing out there, and he's just working, just doing stuff, right?
Right.
And the artist, the camera guys behind the camera, they're like, you know, Mr. Geiger, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you know. What time do you usually get up? Oh, about 7, 8 o'clock. They're like, well, you know, what are you doing up this late? You know, you were sleeping, but you woke up and started working again. He's like, well, yeah, I work at nighttime, too. And they're like, well, you know, why do you get up in the middle of the night to work? He's like, because I have constant nightmares all the time.
Sure.
And just about everything I've ever painted is a result of the nightmares I've had. It's the images I've seen in my nightmares.
Yeah,
and
sure.
And I put these on paper.
Yeah, I go into that as well. Not Geiger, but I go into other artists who are inspired by nightmares, painters and musicians, you know, composers. Nightmares are so profound, you know. Just like Doug was saying earlier, I mean, he had a nightmare years ago and still remembers it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it's not a real event, right? It's something invented in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a real event now because it's remembered for so long.
You know, a person like Geiger, he put it on paper. He's immortalized it. If you get a chance, check it out, Jeff.
Yeah, definitely.
Doug yourself, because when you see it, you'll be like, oh, my God. I mean, if you just think about the alien.
Right, yeah.
That's a pretty creepy-looking monster. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that thing's pretty, you know, 2 miles and the acid he spits.
I don't know if I could, ever get a restful night's sleep if my nights were, like, filled with that.
Well, yeah. I mean, he gets up in the middle of the night, and he's like, I do it right when I wake up. So
yeah.
I don't forget one little detail. I want to make sure I have the whole thing done.
Well, you know what's interesting? That's his dream journal.
Mm-hmm.
He just does it in picture.
With an airbrush, yeah.
You know, with an airbrush, because one thing that is so critical, if you really want to get into dream work and understanding your own dreams, keeping a dream journal is critical, where you wake up every day and you write down whatever you can possibly remember. And it really has to be the very first thing you do in the morning. You have to, you know, hit the alarm off, grab the pen and the journal, which is right next to your bed, and just document, put the date, and put what you remember.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's what he's doing. He's just drawing.
Yeah, well, we were talking about that over the weekend, too, and that was one thing me and Amber were discussing. She's like, I wish I would have kept a dream journal.
Well, it's never too late. You can start tomorrow.
But there's, you know, and I said the same thing. I've said this, too. I'm like, you know, you get this feeling of deja vu. That's one way to look at it, I guess. But sometimes it may be just something you've seen in your nightmares and or dreams. I know I've been put in situations where I'm like, everything around me looks familiar. This looks like deja vu. And then later on I'll remember, like, you know what? I saw this in a dream. Now, this could be a form of deja vu, I guess. But we said that, Amber said it this weekend, she's like, she's like, I really wish I would have kept a dream journal like 4 years ago and kept it going till now. Because there's things that have happened that I know I saw in my dreams.
Sure.
But now I have nothing. I have nothing to cross-reference it with, though.
So we could be doing precognitive dreams without even knowing it.
Exactly.
Because if you don't keep a dream journal, you have nothing to refer back to.
You have nothing to refer back to.
Say, look, I wrote this in September of 2003,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm here, and it looks exactly the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I documented it.
Because a lot of things, I mean, I can say that myself, too, that there's a lot of things that have happened over the last couple of years that I'm like, I've been here before. Why? What's going on? I saw this somewhere, and then I usually... you know, well, maybe I can't prove it, obviously, Jeff, but you know, maybe I saw it in a dream, maybe I saw it in a nightmare or something like that. It's a very, very loose thing. It's a very open ended. We know that, but the whole idea of this, I mean, just like Geiger, for example. I mean, I love his artwork myself, but when I saw that interview and what he said, I'm like, my God, this man's twisted.
Poor guy.
But he's tortured.
At least he's working through it. He's
constructive about it. He's constructive about it. That's true. You know, and he's done some amazing artwork because of that.
Sounds like if his nightmare stopped, he's out of work.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a position to be in.
You have another book, though, that's been out for a couple of months, right,
John? Yeah. The one that came out back in August is called The Encyclopedia of Haunted Places.
Mm-hmm.
And this was such a cool project to work on because what happened was, over a year ago now, my publisher contacted me and said, hey, would you want to put together a huge directory of haunted places?
Mm-hmm.
And without hesitation, I said, absolutely not. that would just be murder.
Shadowlands.com. There you go. Yeah.
Well, but, you know, I recognize that there are other directories out there. Like you said, there's some online.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are, don't get me wrong, they're a great place for leads, but they're not overly accurate.
For example, Mayor Hurst of Windsor, his ghost is seen, you know, in the downtown area, yet he's alive. So I have a feeling that somebody submitted something to the Canadian version of Shadowlands that might be a bit of a fake.
Yeah.
and they'll put it in there. If they got an email about it, it's in writing, so they put it in there. And sometimes that's unfortunate, and, you know, but for the most part, that's where I go. Mm-hmm. I just bought, didn't Hans Holzer do an encyclopedia of haunted places?
No. He's got 100 and some odd books. He's got a book called Ghosts, which I think just documents some of his better cases. There's a book called The National Directory of Haunted Places by Dennis William Hawk.
Mm-hmm. That's what I have, because I have one of them kinds of things, but I haven't looked at it.
It was funny. That book, it's got, I think, 2,000 entries. It's an orange book. I don't know if you've seen it.
I should probably get yours, because yours will be a lot more modern, right?
Well, what's funny is let me finish telling you about
this. Yeah, good idea.
No, it's okay. Before I start plugging other people's books. I told them, I said, no, I really, I couldn't do that, because after doing the world's most haunted places, I know how much work it is to really try to get the story right. To get one location right, you really need to get local. You got to do a lot of research. And if I was going to do hundreds, it would just take years and years and years, and it would never come out.
Mm-hmm.
But then I thought about it, and I'm like, you know, I've met so many paranormal investigators, so many ghost hunters all over the world. I've corresponded with them through my website. They should be the ones to write this. You know, this, it's never been done. We put together one directory written by just a myriad of the various ghost hunters.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just put the word out, and it just came together, and paranormal investigators from New Zealand, from Australia, from Ireland, from England, from Scotland, from Wales, from Canada, from all over the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
Over 100 contributors, you know, submitted material for the book, and I was mainly the editor and compiler,
mm-hmm.
and also wrote some of the entries. But yeah, it's 250 locations, and it's kind of like investigation notes from various people, and you get to see the different ways people do investigations.
Mm-hmm.
Some are very esoteric. They just use psychics.
Mm-hmm.
Others are very scientific. They want nothing to do with psychics. It's pure EMF readers. It's, you know, thermometers. It's infrared cameras, photography, stuff like that. And it was just such a wild project to work on and just see it all come together because, you know, as I'm sure you guys have seen, a lot of times paranormal groups can be very catty. You know, we're doing it right, you're not doing it right, and so it was nice to just be like, hey, listen, forget all that, just let's talk about the local places you know best. For example, I've never been to Iowa, but, you know, the ghost hunters of Iowa know the local haunts. They're in a much better position to write about them than I ever could be, so it was a very cool project to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was saying about Dennis William Hawk's book, The National Directory of Haunted Places,
mm-hmm.
it's really a competing title for me.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 weeks ago I was in Las Vegas for a paranormal conference, and I knew Dennis was going to be there, and it was so cool. He walked right up to me and he said, Jeff, I love the Encyclopedia of Haunted Places. And I was just like, oh man, you made my year. And he was such a cool guy. We got to really hang out for about 3 days, and it was a really good conference.
And that was you said that was a convention out in Las Vegas?
Yep, that was October 2nd to 4th.
Yeah, that's the one that we
that
had.
That was Janice Oberding.
Yeah, yeah, we had Janice Oberding on the show during the convention. Yeah.
I was right there.
All right, give us the scoop.
What do you want to know?
How did it go?
Oh,
will there
great.
Be a number two?
I'm a big fan of these kinds of conferences. I think we need more of them, and I think they need to be bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I think we you know, there's a lot of people out there spending money on books and on equipment and doing the research, and it's great once a year, twice a year, to get together and see how different people are doing things, to network on ideas, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it was a great opportunity, and you know, I was a fan of Dennis Hawk, so it was great to meet him. Richard Sennett was there. And Richard Sennett contributed to the Encyclopedia of Haunted Places. You know, it's really meant to be like a haunted travel guide and a lot of other things. There's an interview with Troy Taylor, with Lloyd Auerbach, with Ed and Lorraine Warren, with Dr. Hans Holzer. You know, it's just meant to be like a big celebration of everything that ghost hunters are doing everywhere.
Go to that one, but see, we're sort of now. I don't know. We've been to the Mothman
thing two years in a row.
Yeah, 2 years in a row, and then I want to go now to the Bigfoot Festival or whatever it is in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Maybe next year will be our
we'll just tour
year
the whole
of conferences.
Country.
Yeah,
we'll
yeah right. No, I think there needs to be more conferences, and they've already announced that they're going to hold the second annual roughly the same days. It's going to be a Monday, Tuesday, or like a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Okay.
Just like this was first weekend in October, first week of October.
Mm.
And, I'm a fan of people doing that, because I think we do need to get together. If we're going to be a real field of study, a real industry, you know, you have conferences, and great things come when we get together and share information. Just like
know.
You know, if, just like you know from doing your show.
If we go to a thing like that though, and then they'll be like, nobody's ever heard of Ghostly Talk. I'd be like, oh no.
Well, no, we,
you know, but there's lots of. I mean, there was a lot of that, but it's an opportunity to introduce yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, when I was there, there were plenty of people that had never heard of Ghost Village, but.
Mm.
I fixed that. You know, I said, I handed out business cards and said, please come by. I mean, that's part of the objective of doing these things, is that you can say, wait, you know, let me tell you about some of the stuff that is there for you right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been to a few conferences here and there, too, like over the years.
What hotel is that in, do you know? Or is it going to be the same one this time, or?
Probably. It was the Palace Station Hotel.
Oh, yep. Okay.
And I believe it would probably be in the same one again. But, you know, I'm sure you'll hear about it if you're reading the slew of magazines now that are covering the topic, and you know, they're good about sending out press releases and things like that.
I think it was tough to get our third edition of Ghost Magazine. It didn't come. Finally, I called up Will, and I said, Will, what's happened to Ghost Magazine? And then it came the next day.
Yeah.
So that was kind of weird. But
that's,
yeah, there's
you know,
a fucking
that's,
way.
That's another part of it. If you're going to be doing something, some kind of publication, you know, radio show or a website or a magazine, you know, you got to do it. You got to be all in. As you guys know, if you decide you're going to take a few months off because you're sick of it, you lose your listeners quick.
Right. We've never done that.
We've
never done that.
Yeah, and that's why you don't lose listeners.
And we're not interested in doing that.
Every once in a while, one of us does a meltdown. We need to take a week off. That's happened before. But generally, we've been going nonstop since February of 2002 now.
Yeah,
and but being consistent is so important.
Oh, totally. That's my big thing. I'm always very consistent. That's why we as far as show business goes, I mean, we've always been like, okay, well, what do you do? Well, what do I do? I'm like,
well,
let me do the friggin' archives, because I do it the same way every week.
Well, that's what I, I've had to pull that out.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that's one thing I like, you know, like you said, Jeff, that's a very important thing if you're going to do a publication of sorts, is that, okay, well, you know, I just do it, because I know I clip it the same every single week, so it's always consistent, and that's just something that's just my way of doing things. That's how I contribute to this show.
We prove ourselves our passion for the paranormal every single Sunday since 2002, and we'll continue doing that for quite a while. But you know what?
What?
It's 9 o'clock.
Oh, God, no.
So we have
well, all the more better for my voice anyway.
Yeah.
I'm losing it again.
So, you know, Jeff, thank you so very much.
Hey, it was my pleasure. It was great talking to you guys. Great to be on your show.
We'd love to have you back again if you'd like to come back.
Yeah, anytime.
Oh, definitely. And
anytime, but not October. Not this October.
This was an extremely rare event to get you on in an October.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to do it anytime I can.
Thank you so much.
Jeff, thank you for coming on again. Like you said, GhostVillage.com.
Exactly.
That's where you want to go to check it all out. Wonderful website. We're on there. Go back to
the pretty cool.
Cool. Jeff, hang on the line for 1 second. We're going to close the show out, okay?
Sounds great.
Hang tight.
Cool.
That's it, guys. Another week. Oh, man. This was a tough one, too. I think we're all kind of like...
Yeah,
we're all kind of fried, you know. This has been a very...
We didn't have Will's help, so I've been fiddling with knobs the entire show, so...
Yeah, you know, it's funny, because, like, last month we had, like, a ton of different people on. We were doing tons of special shows and all these things. And this month we've pretty much kept it, you know, straight, like, you know, classic ghostly talk every Sunday. We're just going to do the show on Sundays. But we've had a slew of people on this month, and it's been just exhausting.
And it's amazing, and I have to thank each and every one of them. Thank you, Jeff Bellinger. Thank you, Sean Burris. Thank you, Marcus Leader, for being on the show. Thank you, Mom L. thank you, Phobos, for holding down the fort. Thanks, Garage Mage, Havoc, Whiplash 550, Zarella, and 8-Bit. Zarella, by the way, did a review of Ghost, the book.
Oh, really?
In her show, Full Moon Radio. So you might want to check that out, fullmoonradio.com.
Definitely.
Thank you, everybody who listens.
We have a ball.
And thank you, all past and future guests, because this is the best time. This is this is where it all comes together.
And unfortunately, we only have one more week left.
Ugh. Of Ghost Month.
Of Ghost Month, you know.
But this week's going to be hot. It's going to be awesome with Grimstone.
Yeah.
So everybody.
Chris and the gang will be down here.
And they'll be here physically, so I imagine we'll be able to take calls.
Yeah.
So with that, you guys, we will be back. In your computers and on your iPods. Oh, yeah, thank you, iPlod. I-P-L-O-D popped in the chat room for a little while.
Oh, cool. All right.
And of course, Misty, they popped in the chat room. So thank you, everybody, and we'll be back next Sunday from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Or, of course, we'll be podcasted to your favorite podcast receptacle.
Whatever little pink and blue box you have that's on your sidearm. Suck it down.
Exactly.
It'll be up in a couple hours.
Our website, www.ghostlytalk.com. Jeff Belanger.
Belanger.
And his absolutely magnificent site, ghostvillage.com, has a permanent link in our section over on the right of permanent past guest links. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Have at that. Enjoy. Everybody, Ghost Month, October 2005.
Yeah.
And we'll see you for our last one next week with the incredible Grimstone.
We're out of here. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And we're going to sleep.
If I can find something to play to get...
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
There we go.
There
bye,
is.
Everybody.
Bye.
To listen too loudly.
Media becomes the media.